I'm excited to talk to this guy.
Yes.
As you were saying, he's one of those must-follows on Twitter.
One of my favorites.
Darren Revelle's on the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. He's with the Action Network now. In fact, we have a lot of Action Network guests on with us. We have Jeff Schwartz on. We have Chad Millman on with us all the time, talking about gambling. Revelle, though, a must-follow on Twitter. Over 2 million followers. He left ESPN for the Action Network, I assume, and we can ask him, because as a business specialist, he probably looks to the future. He looks at future earnings, if you will. If you were gonna, read it like CNBC, future earnings, and he probably saw the future of sports is headed towards this merging of legalized gambling. I should say legalized. And we certainly do our fair share of gambling talk on the show, and Darren Revelle is there. Hello, Darren.
What's up? How are you guys?
Is that why you hooked up with the Action Network? Did you kind of look at the landscape and say, yeah, this is like I'm getting in before it's really entrenched?
Yeah,
and when it is entrenched, it'll be huge.
Yeah, essentially. I mean, I had about 40 weeks left on my ESPN contract, and I was just looking around and saw, having lived in New Jersey, you know, it's like Europe in New Jersey. You know, they've $1.3 billion was bet in the first 6 months. And, you know, the trains, I'm thinking about the guy on the train, the guy who sells marketing, you know, who does marketing for New Jersey Transit. Like, for 5 years, he's cold calling people like, no, you don't want anything, you know. And all of a sudden, the New Jersey Transit trains, this is what it looks like. On the outside is FanDuel. On the inside is DraftKings. On the floor is William Hill. On the top of the train is Caesars. I mean, it's outrageous. And people are taking their lunch breaks in New York, because it's not legal in New York, going to the first stop in New Jersey, which might be like Secaucus or something, which is now like a tourist destination. They're standing on the platform. They open up their little app. They bet, and then they go back to their office in New York. So having seen all this, you know, there's very little time in business where you can see a business at full maturity when the rest of the country besides Nevada is not at that. And so for me, I was going from 20 to 40 to 60 gambling stories a year. And I asked myself, could I do this full time? And the answer was yes.
Oh, it is so sexy to hear you talk about gambling and the legalization of gambling, because I love it so much. And yeah, Florida's a ways away, because we're a little backwards
ways
here.
Away.
Yeah, we're a little
and
backwards.
Quickly on that, I mean, obviously, just so that people know, because I always get questions from people, especially, you know, I've gotten a bunch of Florida, even one today. You know, it does fall along the tribal lines, and we know how much the guys at Hard Rock and other tribes spent against the recent, you know, amendment, you know, whether it was going to flip or not. And, you know, for Florida and North Carolina and for Arizona and California, where there are a lot of tribes, they have their deal with gaming, and, you know, they're not confident that the same deal will exist with sports gambling. And at worst, it could cannibalize them. So that's really why it gets a little bit more complicated in states that have, you know, more tribes.
And Darren, if it doesn't have to do with the tribes, what are the other, you know, oppositions to gambling around the nation? What is their argument?
Yeah, you know, it's funny. The Bible Belt really hasn't stood up against it. Yesterday in Iowa, which doesn't even allow you to do legal fantasy gaming, they passed something through one of their legislative branches yesterday about talking about mobile betting. There's not a lot of opposition, and I think some of that has to do with the parallel course that marijuana is running along with at the same time, you know, sports betting, and maybe seeing the revenue that's coming in. So there really isn't a lot right now. 8 states plus the District of Columbia, which hasn't really, they haven't done anything, but they've passed it. So that's legal in 8 states. And then I think this year, by the end of this year, we'll probably have 15 to 17. And then it will kind of rise. And I expect the majority of the country by 2021 will have legalized gambling.
Darren Revelle is with us. He's with the Action Network now. You can go to actionnetwork.com. So the reason that we really had looked to get you on yesterday or today is because I enjoy gambling so much, and Crowder as well. We've been betting on the Alliance of American Football. I was looking forward to football, you know, continuing year round. And then I see your tweet yesterday that the AAF needed this financial lifeline to even hit payroll after 1 week of games. What is the financial situation of the Alliance of American Football, the best you can tell?
Yeah, I mean, they're going to tell you something different. I think that they say that there was a payroll issue with their processing. That's at least what they told the players and the agents. I know that they were looking for money for a while, and it's not really a coincidence that the payroll thing happened, and then they essentially sold the league, or certainly the majority of it, to Tom Dundon, the Carolina Hurricanes owner. It just seems a little weird, right? I mean, they came off week one, and I thought it was, and I'm sure you guys did too, universally, I think people applauded it and were surprised it was good. And I think Bill Polian and Charlie Ebersole did an incredible job. And the one thing I think they got right was they got good players and they didn't seemingly care about names first. Yeah, they got Trent Richardson and Aaron Murray and a couple guys, but they didn't try that hard to get marketable names and guys like Luis Perez and people who, as a major college football fan, I've never even heard of, who looked like they were serviceable. It was the best non-NFL football since the USFL. And so I think people were a little bit weirded out by, wait a second, like this is week one and players aren't getting paid and now there's a new owner of the league. So I think they shouldn't have financial trouble now. But certainly the dynamics have changed. And I don't think it's necessarily great for the league that, you know, people are now making fun of them.
And did they do it right from the beginning? Because we talked about on this show, Darren, that the marketing, like seeing the eyes and the ears that they put on this league early on, I wasn't impressed by it.
Yeah, you know, I think they did as good of a job as possible. It is so hard to start a league. And, you know, you just look at if Vince McMahon can't come out of the box and do it. And obviously that was 18 years ago. That was a different time. I think you got to realize how hard it is to start this thing up. I think they did a good job. I think from the logos, they did a good job. The players, they did a good job. The app, you know, for Apple, people with Apple phones did not work week one, which I think is like a massive loss because people might not give it a second chance. So, you know, to say you're going to be a forward technology league and then the app doesn't work for Apple, it worked for Android, I think that was certainly a big hit for them.
It's shocking, though, that a league with that much name, you know, behind it, with the Ebersole name and the Polian name behind it, and to have major television contracts like they do, it's shocking that they wouldn't have enough cash in the coffers to be able to cover, you know, a year's worth of expenses if they didn't take in $1 in revenue from ticket sales or $1 in revenue from sponsorships, because you're making yourself a laughingstock if you're gambling on we're going to take in enough money. You need to be prepared for something like that. I was blown away by your tweet.
I think they miscalculated how much they needed, and then when they went around for another round, you know, people weren't ready. And, you know, I mean, this is what startup businesses do all the time, right? I mean, they when they raise money, they figure out, okay, what are we going to raise? And, you know, they probably raised around $60 million and it wasn't enough. Just companies and products and brands do that all the time. And sometimes these startups guess wrong, and it could mean death because you didn't raise enough.
Darren, so I'm sorry.
I think that's what they did.
Darren Revell is with us. If they didn't get that $250 million cash infusion, do you think they would have folded?
I don't think a lot of people were saying yes to more money. I don't think their current investors were. So I don't know if they would have folded. I don't think they got $250 million, by the way. I mean, I think that he's committed to that.
I got you.
Maybe that's if they last 10 years. But the league itself is not worth $250 million.
And Darren, when I was, we talked about the AAF. I don't believe another league can make it long term, you know, 5, 6, 10 years down the road. So people were telling me, oh, this is different because the NFL supports it. The NFL's behind it. If the NFL's so much behind it, why do they have to go to an NHL owner to get the money to keep the league going?
Yeah, I mean, the NFL, the only NFL connection is they're obviously not going to be stupid, and they're going to allow players to go up to the NFL. The XFL, which starts next year, the new XFL, is not going to allow people to leave. They're going to be their own league. So the only NFL connection is the allowance, and they have some games on the NFL network. But there aren't any NFL owners involved in it, and there aren't any NFL, there's no NFL money from the league office involved in it. So I think it's kind of been overstated how much the NFL like would really care about this league. If it folded, I'm sure they'd be okay with it. And that's why I don't think there's that much cooperation.
What's your best guess? Do you think they make it through the first season? You think they have a second season?
I'm not ready to call a second season. I think they're going to make it through the first season now.
Yeah, it's a quick quick change of opinion. It's crazy on this league, which was being celebrated after that first week. Similar to the XFL, though, you know, so many years ago. Darren Revelle is with us. And again, you can follow him on Twitter. I think you probably do if you listen to the show, because everyone follows Darren Revelle on Twitter. I have a little T-shirt site called honkedofflikeagoose.com, and I've got gems like Bill Belichick is a jerk and Nick Saban is a jerk. How do I get someone like you to tweet a link to your 2 million followers so that I can pay for my kids' college?
You text me and show me the shirt, and I don't do any pay thing or any ads with Twitter, nothing. Like you couldn't pay me to post it, because I think obviously for Twitter, you know, authenticity is the key. I have to really like it. So if I really like it, I'll post it. We'll not post the link to buy it. People are going to have to find it. But at least the first step is people will see it.
Interesting. So it sounds like we have a little possibility here.
Possibility, but is everything blank is a jerk?
No. Those are the two recent additions. I'm trying to think of what else is up there. Falero, quickly go look at honkedofflikeagoose.com and see what's available. I think I might have Revelle on the line.
Isn't this your website?
Yeah, it is my website. I should know more about it. Urban Meyer is the jerk. We have that. Does that do anything for you?
Okay. Yeah. All of them along this.
Someone came to me and said, would you license Revelle as a nerd shirts? And I said I would, you know, but the deal wasn't good enough. So
you get brutalized. I mentioned this before you came on. You get brutalized on Twitter. And I've seen your response before, which is, if you're going to be in this game, you got to have thick skin.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, I can take it all. I can take it all. I'm not going to bow out. And, you know, I was one of the first journalists on Twitter. And having done Instagram for the past 2 or 3 years, it's amazing to see the positivity versus the negativity of Twitter. It's like everyone's your friend on Instagram and everyone wants to beat the crap out of you on Twitter.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. I've been shifting away from Twitter onto Instagram because it's personal. Like, if you post something and someone wants to respond to you, only you are seeing it. And on Twitter, they're saying something so that everyone can see it. And that's
correct.
And that's why it gets so nasty sometimes. So you never get, trepidation before you send out a tweet and you go, oh, man, I'm just going to get killed.
Yeah, you know, no, some, listen, sometimes I'll say, you know, to do with being in the moment I'm going to be in. So like I was on vacation the last 5 days, which is, that's in quotes. I have something to say. I feel like it's going to get, you know, nailed by people. And normally I'm not like this, but I'm like, you know what? I just don't want to deal with it today. You know, and then I don't want to deal with the crap. You know, my wife's going to accuse me of staring at my phone too long. I just don't want it. Most of the time, I like to put out something. Not that I try, but I like to put out something that gets me a little riled up.
Yeah, it's part of the fun, I think. That's part of the sport of Twitter. It's a gladiator sport.
I'm an adrenaline junkie.
How much are Duke UNC tickets going for tonight on the resale market?
Yeah, 20, yeah, like you can... You can go home at 2,500. You can't even get a rafter.
Wow.
Right now.
That's insane.
I got a great story from the, as told to me from the eyes broker. It's pretty good. It's one of the three busiest days today at the Raleigh-Durham private charter area of the airport. It's insane. And I got a couple great tweets lined up. I have a picture of Roy Williams before he coached his very first game as a coach at a high school in North Carolina.
Is he wearing the sport jacket?
Yes, I think he's wearing like a polo type thing, but he was also the golf coach.
All right, very nice. Darren Revelle on Twitter, at Darren Revelle. You can follow him at the Action Network as well. You can follow the Action Network on Twitter, at Action Network HQ. We appreciate you making time for us, and keep tweeting out what you tweet, because I love it.
You got it. Thanks, guys.
Darren Revelle there, I'm telling you. Oh, and we got to, hey, don't let him go without sending him my link. Hey, don't hang up, Valero.
Said he's not sending no link.
Millions of dollars are on the line.
He hung up on me.
What are you doing?
He hung up on me. I didn't even get a chance to say goodbye.
I was that close to honked off like a goose.com.
That wasn't the place to do that,
goodness,
man.
Great. No, that's where you do business. This is my golf course. That's how you do business.